The Civil War defined America, both the good and the bad. It was the crossroads of our being, and it was a hell of a crossroads. Who would have thought there was a comedy in all that? Well, we did.
Hello, my media masochists, and welcome to The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I purposely subject ourselves to terrible television in an effort to discover which show is truly the worst. I'm Matt Murphy, and I wish we hadn't done that tonight.
that was truly awful. I'm Rachel Bieber, and that was very bad.
I'm Alex Humphrey, and that might have been the worst.
I'm Tachi, the human IMDb, and one glass of wine wasn't enough.
Concur, my friend, concur, but that's sadly all I had in the house. We just watched a show called The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.
The P is not silent.
The P is not silent.
Haha, one of three good jokes.
Yeah, one of three good jokes.
We were kind of charmed by that, and I think there was a moment of, oh, wait, this might be a... And then it all went downhill.
But it was bad in a way we weren't expecting. Like, we were expecting horribly racist jokes.
Instead, they're horribly sexist jokes.
Aww.
Gotta keep them guessing. Now, for those of you who haven't watched this show, which is going to be most of the planet Earth.
Thank God.
This show aired in the year 1998 and on the UPN network. It ran for 6 episodes and then was promptly buried.
For good reasons.
For very good reasons.
Of all the shows we've watched, this is the one that I remember actually at the time being really hated.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember just, it was notorious as it was airing. It was
getting... Because it's that bad.
Yes. Some articles, some little TV spots about how bad it was. Mm. And do we even have a description?
We don't, because this isn't officially available anywhere. We found it on some random ass YouTube channel. And they only had 3 of the 6 episodes. We watched 2 of them and then decided that was enough.
Well, also, we didn't have episode 3 available.
Yeah, those continuing storylines, you might miss something.
Yeah, you might miss some misogyny.
The first video, the video for episode 1 contains a little part of the title says, "Does anyone have episode 3?
Well, yeah, like literally, that was the
Does
title.
Anyone have any more episodes? I mean, it's like...
We should probably explain a little more about what the show is. So, yeah. It stars Chi McBride as Desmond Pfeiffer, an English nobleman who...
Is black.
Is black, as Chi McBride is.
Yes, I mean, that might need explanation.
Yes, and he loses all his money gambling... And therefore has to indenture himself to Abraham Lincoln?
I don't know how exactly that came about.
Yeah, like, he seemed to be the butler to the White House.
It doesn't make sense, because, like, I'm like, does the president know that this is actually a British nobleman? Or is he a rube?
It seemed like Desmond was well-respected by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, this was the part of where we're like, oh, weirdly, it's not racist.
But he did seem to still be a servant.
And he had a servant named Nibbles.
Niblets.
Sorry.
No, I don't know. How could you forget his name when most of Desmond Pfeiffer's lines are, Niblets!
Yeah.
So you know what Niblet was? Niblet was a Mel Brooks character.
Yes, I would say he was...
A poorly executed Mel Brooks character.
I thought he was actually one of the better performances in the show.
Well, he had terrible direction.
I think he had very good comedic physicality. The way he carried himself and the way he was willing to do the outrageous Mission Impossible stunt.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
I am.
I think he was the least openly sexist character and then de facto the best.
That might be it. So the show opens like a Ken Burns documentary.
Yes.
But very quickly devolves into how the Civil War was a comedy as well as being tragic.
that they found comedy in it.
Oh, they found comedy in it.
Which is... I can't even make a joke about it. It's not false. Novel.
They didn't find a lick of comedy.
No, they didn't. Licking, another theme of the night.
So we haven't said, just to make it clear, this is a laugh track sitcom.
Yeah.
And from the late 90s.
That poor audience.
I don't know that there was an audience.
No.
Well, in either case, there's two ways these shows are done. One is the canned laughter. One is the audience, which is there, but those audiences are prompted, which you kind of have to do, because even if the show is hilarious, they're watching the same takes over and over and over again.
Right.
So you need a prompter for that. And then there's a combination of the two, because a sitcom could have some pre-filmed pieces, and it could have some filmed in front of a studio audience.
This sounded like Scooby-Doo canned laughter.
Yeah. It was that, like, shrieking.
Because I don't know if you knew this, Tachi, Scooby-Doo was not filmed in front of a live studio audience.
What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. None of you knew that?
It was an animated audience.
That's not a thing.
So the plot of episode one.
Yeah.
The plot of the episode one, this is going to be brief, because there's not a lot of plot.
I just remembered all the plot.
Is that Abraham Lincoln has gotten into a long-distance relationship via telegraph.
He's sexting.
He's sexting with someone, and his wife is fat.
Yes, that's pretty
well,
much
you're,
it.
Well, you're forgetting also the treasure hunt.
Oh, yeah, the treasure hunt.
The B plot of the story is that Desmond Pfeiffer, the writer of A Secret Diary, has himself already discovered in episode one another secret diary of Thomas Jefferson, which led to a ruby ring and a stash of marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah.
Which did not show up again in the episode.
Nope.
No. But they did get to make an Indian peace pipe joke about gambling with Indians and how they'll cheat you.
By giving you the peace pipe, getting you stoned, and then
taking all your money,
because that's a thing.
So we want to. Are we going to focus on the ring plot, and then we'll move on to sexting?
Sure.
What ring plot?
Oh, you know,
the top two scenes.
It ends up on Mary Todd's
beautiful toe.
Her feet are her best feature, because she's fat. Everybody, Mary Todd's fat.
She isn't even that fat.
She's not even that
fat.
I
thought she was very attractive.
Yeah, she looks fine.
Yeah.
So Mary Todd was not known for her beauty.
That's true.
However.
That is true.
However.
It's a TV show, so she's TV fat.
Yeah. Which means she's a size 8.
So, all right. She gets the ring and thinks, why shouldn't she take it? And then, oh no, Niblet and Desmond need to get it back. She puts it on her toe. And that leads to a series of wacky bits with Niblet.
Because it wouldn't fit on her finger because she's fat.
Yes.
I forgot.
I did forget that. So there's a Mission Impossible parody with Niblet being lowered into the First Lady's bath chamber.
Where he just has shenanigans that don't make sense.
He sniffs her corset and puts it in his shirt because he wants it.
Then he brushes his hair.
In the mirror as he's hanging, and then the horse is startled and pulls him off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is a prime example of the thing that's most wrong with this show. The scenes go nowhere. It builds nothing.
And they take forever to get there.
It's astonishing. They both spend an exhausting amount of time in each scene, but also the scenes don't go anywhere or build anything.
Mm.
I'll just say it. The entire show is dick jokes. It's dick jokes, it's fat jokes, it's a combination of dick jokes and fat jokes.
Dick jokes, though.
I think there were fat dick jokes. Like half of the dick jokes are what a big dick, and the other half of the dick jokes are like, whoa, what's that dick going in?
Also, just because this show takes place in the days of Lincoln doesn't mean we're not going to make Bill Clinton dick jokes.
That's right.
There were so many Clinton jokes.
So many. To the point
and
where...
And by jokes, I mean they were supposed to be.
Which brings us to the end of the plot line, which is that they lose the ring because it comes off of Mary Todd's foot during
she's fucking.
during some passionate lovemaking with...
And falls through a hole in the floor.
Falls through a hole in the floor, which Ta-da. Was barely caught by the camera, to be later discovered by Hillary Rodham Clinton, who he says, I finally have a way to pay for your legal defense.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that was a thing that...
I'm sure it was not really a thing.
No, it wasn't a thing.
But, like, so... We're missing some important parts here of the sexting plot.
Yeah, well, we can go to that.
So the idea here was that President Lincoln is telegraph sexting with some mysterious, sexy person, and it's hot and heavy, and he's doing this because Mary Todd is no good in bed.
Was that really the stated reason?
Yes.
Jesus.
And he was ignoring the Civil War and causing the texting or the telegraph lines to be busy, so that the South could not actually like talk to Lincoln about the terms of surrender. And
you might hear that I'm constructing in your head a plot, but it isn't. It's just a series of scenes.
So then, Lincoln burns his hands because he is sexting so hard and knocks over a kerosene lamp.
Thankfully, that was not shown.
Yes.
But he does have to walk around with mummy hands for a third of it.
Perfect opportunity for a carpal tunnel joke, too.
Right? Like, that was pretty topical then. And then, let's see. Oh, and then Lincoln agrees to meet his lady love in a pub, and they'll both be wearing pink carnations, and shenanigans ensue, and there's some confusion. But then Lincoln and Mary Todd find that they had been telegraph sexting each other, which is how we got to the hot and heavy sex scene.
Except Lincoln had another sexting partner, because the other thing that was happening is that he's sending dirty Morse code things to Stonewall Jackson. And Stonewall Jackson is misinterpreting these sexual delightful texts.
I'm gonna lick you.
I'm gonna lick you. Ah, he thinks they're war threats. So he replies with things like, I'm gonna get you on your knees.
No. He replies with thing, like, I'm gonna get you on your knees. Because that's the end of the bit. Oh, you go one, two, and bit's over. No exploring that bit. That would have been a funny scene.
No, they come back.
Like a misunderstanding.
They come back around later on because he's like, "What are you talking about? They're coming up the front. The last message we intercepted from them, they were approaching from the rear. They're going to take us from the rear."
And then they all just stared awkwardly at the camera.
Yeah, because that was funny.
See, that's the one that almost could have been funny. I would have liked an episode of like the war is being heightened by sexual Morse code.
But they just...
It's already better.
Building plot would take into valuable time.
Yeah, they only have 22
fat jokes
minutes.
Or dick jokes.
Yeah, they were... It was basically Mary Todd is fat. Mary Todd is ugly.
Mary Todd's
Mary
bad
Todd
in bed.
Is bad in bed.
Drug her so she
goes
to sleep.
Oh, that's the next episode. Oh. You're getting ahead of yourself.
It's...
I was going to say there's a third category of joke that I want to bring up.
Oh?
Which is... Ulysses S. Grant is such a drunk.
Oh, yeah. Ulysses S. Grant is
He's so drunk. That's an important subplot episode, too.
Yeah. It's very established that he's a barely functioning alcoholic. And, of course, it's played for laughs because everything is played for laughs in the show. It being a comedy.
I wrote down a note about the secretary because I thought that character was going to matter.
Oh, yeah. It didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Nope.
Fuck it, let's not mention
her. It just was another little womanizing thing.
Yes, you're right. It was there for the sexism, not the character.
Purely there for sexism.
Because sexism is not funny.
Sorry.
I was gonna say that.
It wasn't even funny in 1998.
No.
I mean, there were a lot of Monica Lewinsky jokes then.
I want to be clear, I am not opposed to a good dick joke.
Oh no, a good dick joke is fine.
In episode 2. No follow-up. A good dick joke is fine. The more you know.
Yeah.
Do.
So, this episode was very convoluted. It involves spies.
Cross-dressing.
And cross-dressing.
And helium balloons.
So
helium.
So, Lincoln...
And bets.
Yeah, so...
There's a lot going on.
So, Lincoln Lincoln needs to get his photograph taken with his new weapon of war to really scare Johnny Reb. And he does so, for some reason, in a hot air balloon? Or was the hot air balloon the weapon?
That was the weapon.
I thought it was the bomb. So they did have a little amusing gag here. Mm-hmm. I have to cite it because it, like, actually was kind of funny. They've got this, like, picture, like, Abe Lincoln's in a hot air balloon. In front of him is a giant Acme-style cartoon bomb. Mm. And the characters, and then, like, the shot opens on the flash light bam sound of the camera, and everyone jumping in terror.
I didn't notice that.
I totally blinked.
I jumped in terror because the cut that took us to that flash was so abrupt, I didn't see it coming.
The uploader skipped the opening theme, which I have to thank them for.
No, because I wanted to sit through that again.
It was clearly transferred from VHS.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, we've been talking about the hot air balloon, but then it had helium in it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a hot air balloon.
It was a helium balloon.
But it was a giant helium balloon.
Yes.
One that had a basket that could contain 3 grown men, which, thankfully, get in the basket as Ulysses S. Grant, the drunk, unmoors the damn thing. And it floats over into enemy territory.
I mean, that's pretty far.
Yes. All the way across the Potomac. They did have a gag about the helium escaping, which was decent.
When it was shot down.
Yes. They're like, oh, and we're losing helium. How did you know this was a helium balloon? I'm certain of it. Like,
yeah, that was amusing.
The old squeaky voice.
Except I was so unamused, like, it had to take the end of the episode for me to find something amusing.
Yeah, the show is in the red at that point.
And that's part of the problem with the show, is every line is a joke.
Oh.
Everything they say is a joke.
We forget before the hot air balloon that there's a joke about drugging Mary Todd, and that Lincoln, to get her to leave him alone, uses ether on her.
And she says, "That's your answer to all my problems, Abe." Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
This is another thing about the episodes. Because I'm betting based on what we've seen of this show that every episode begins with the two of them hating each other and their marriage is falling apart. Then it's magically mended, in this case, for almost no reason whatsoever.
Well, because he came back. We did, before they get shot down, Lincoln does make a Titanic King of the World joke.
Yes. I'm the King of the World and the President.
That's kind of clever.
It's almost funny.
I mean, it's one of those, like, oh, Titanic was a new movie, so we better have a Titanic joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, they crash in enemy territory and decide to disguise themselves. So, Niblet disguises himself in, like,
a sailor
boy outfit. The president disguises himself
as a lady.
Haha, very funny.
Bonnet hiding the Lincoln beard.
And Pfeiffer disguises himself just as himself. He doesn't put on a disguise.
No.
They get caught, and he makes the argument that he is actually a white man disguised as a black man. And the Southerners, being dumb Southerners that they are.
Oh, yeah, so many dumb Southerner jokes. Mm.
They had hidden bushes, and then they had a get peed on by Southerners joke.
Yep.
And Niblet accidentally lets it slip that they've been to the White House, and they're like, what? And Pfeiffer goes, oh, the International White House of Pancakes. IWOP.
It was
bad.
That was rough.
This is the first show we have watched that has been exhausting to recap.
Yeah.
Just reliving it hurts.
Yeah. We still have halfway to go, and I'm just like, oh, God, this hill is so high.
I am re-feeling the desire to end the episode early that I felt during this episode. I seriously considered. If when that episode ended, we only were at the 10-minute mark, I would have been like, no more. We cannot watch anymore.
I want you to know that after that Titanic King of the World joke, I have no notes until the last minute of the episode.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yep.
They just had so many Clinton jokes and so many dick jokes. And oh my god.
So we're trying to stop watching the episode we've already watched right now as we're talking about it.
Yeah, it's and it's tough. We've all been through this trauma together now. I feel closer to you all.
Aww.
Also, this episode had a gay joke.
It did.
It did, because
they weren't going to be allowed
conjugal visits. Conjugal and he said, well, I guess, and one Southerner says to the other, well, I guess I'll see you after supper.
And the other one just looks confused.
It was, I don't know what he was trying to convey, that
butt
actor.
Butt sex. He was conveying butt sex.
No.
Of course.
No, not that actor. The actor who received the compliment, so to speak.
It was like a Looney Tune face. Like, he was like a sort of face.
Yeah, you're right. He was just confused. You're right.
So, concurrent with this plot line, we have the plot line that...
Mary Todd is fat. and Ulysses S. Grant is a drunk.
Yes.
Exactly. And so, they challenge each other. She's going to go on a diet, and Ulysses will stop drinking.
And then he finds out that he has to be the president right now.
Because Lincoln is missing, and the vice president is overseas for some damn reason. So he's basically in charge of the whole country. He immediately goes mad with the stress, can't even order his own lunch, and Mary Todd realizes that she's really put a shade on his lantern, because he just doesn't have that vital spark anymore.
Well, she needs him to rescue Abe, and he can't unless he's drunk. So they get him drunk again.
Yeah.
Like the bit, does he have like a, it's like one scene of being sober, right?
It is maybe two. And then when they get him re-drunk, he has to drink several bottles of booze, which we watch him do. We watch him do it every time.
We watch him drink every bottle.
Yeah, see, I think they're going for like a Popeye joke here, but that's not how you time a Popeye joke. You time it with, like, he won't do it, he won't do it, and then Mary Todd, like, tricks him into drinking, and then he has a dur-dur-dur-dur. Instead, we watch him drink a bottle.
Damn, that's already better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It's not hard to write a better show than this. I would be hard-pressed to write a worse show than this.
22 minutes of silence.
No, seriously, though.
Ooh, John Cage.
I think it would be genuinely difficult to write a script which is 22 minutes long, and not a single joke lands.
Oh my god. It's... Okay, so we need to move on.
We got some celebrities in this episode.
We did,
yeah.
So, at the gathering of Southerners, we meet a character played by Curtis Armstrong, who you may know as Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. Stephen Tobolowsky, who from Groundhog Day, Ned Ryerson.
That is the character who's
got a little thing for Lady Abe.
Yeah, and you know, immediately demands her to marry him.
And then the sex.
And then the. First chasing Abe Lincoln around a table, going for that.
Yeah, so he doesn't take no for an answer.
So he flashes his junk at him.
And he says, well, you could have just taken off your bonnet.
This has come about because they're captured and they've gone back to, like, the enemy's base because they're trying to steal their maps. And along with this scene, we have the scene where Pfeiffer is...
pretending to be a white man wearing a black man costume.
And then the Southerners are racist, and then he beats one of them up because he's trying to convince them that he's black?
I don't know. It was very stupid.
I didn't understand this.
I,
none of it made any sense.
I could try to explain, but it's really hard.
No, okay. I don't think it made sense.
It doesn't matter.
Well,
you're better off not knowing about this. If you can forget that this ever happened, it's best that you do.
Keep in mind that this was, in a way, very groundbreaking. It was at least a decade before Tropic Thunder, where a white man plays a black man playing a white man playing a black man, I think.
But how many years was it before Shakespeare in Love, where a woman played a woman pretending to be a man pretending to be a woman?
And what about that college admissions one where there was a white man who took a bunch of melatonin so he could pretend to be a black man and get into college.
Soul Man?
Was that it?
C. Thomas Howell?
Maybe.
Why do I know this? Someone make a dick joke.
Because you're the human IMDb. The D stands for dick.
So the episode ends. The episode ends when they're caught out as spies.
See, that's a funny dick joke.
The episode ends when they're caught, taken out outside to be shot. But it turns out that the plantation owner is actually a black man disguised as a white man.
Not just any black man.
But
Sherman Helmsley.
Yes, so it's Sherman Helmsley, but he's Colonel Jefferson.
Yes.
Helmsley is George Jefferson, just to be clear, everybody.
He makes a bunch of the Jefferson jokes, including, I have to move on up this way. And then he makes a weird sound, and he's like, sorry, wheezy. And then that's it.
That's it. And then they return to the White House, and Mary and Abe are reunited and love each other once again, and the whole general has to get drunk to do his job plot. It is never picked up again after he's drunk. That's gone. It's over. And then, blissfully, the episode ends.
Not before Lincoln tells his wife that she could stand to gain a few pounds.
Which is sweet.
For this show.
Yeah. Ugh. I would like to point out also that every episode, and by every episode I mean two episodes that we've watched, end with the same monologue from Ty McBride, where he's like, this is the secret diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Yeah, you know, you bookend it.
But why does he write that at the end of every entry in his diary?
Because it's a TV show.
Did you ever watch Doogie Howser?
Not really.
Oh my god!
I know he typed on his computer.
He did.
Did he end it all with, like, Love Doogie or something?
I don't remember, but, I mean, that's how the episode ended, was with him typing what he learned.
What kind of a name is Doogie, anyway?
Doogie.
I've never understood that. Is it short for, like, Douglas?
I don't remember. However, it was Neil Patrick Harris, and he was a brilliant 3-year-old physician.
Yeah. You may have picked up on the fact that I want to not talk about The Secret Diary of Desmond
Pfeiffer. I think we were done talking about
Let's talk about Kolchak the Night Stalker. That also had typing in its opening credits.
So, at this point in the watching, I said there's one more episode remaining online. Would you... It's only 20 minutes and 39 seconds total. And all of us were like, that is a bridge too far.
20 minutes of this show is simply intolerable. The idea of watching another 10 minutes is difficult. 20 is impossible.
It's kind of tantalizing me, though.
What about it?
It would be like watching Human Centipede 1 and then not watching the third Human Centipede.
Or skipping to the third Human Centipede.
There's three of those?
There are three of them.
Yeah.
What?
You gotta have bigger and bigger centipedes.
No, with this show, it would be like watching Human Centipede 1, then Human Centipede 1 again, then skipping Human Centipede 2 to watch Human Centipede 1 again. It's all the same humor.
We have laughed more during the recording of this episode than during the entirety of two episodes of the show.
All right, I have a fun hypothetical to ask you all.
Uh-huh.
Would this have been better if it were animated?
No. Would this have been better if it were a musical?
Holy shit.
I'm still gonna go with no.
Okay. I need to wrap my head around something.
Uh-huh.
Because as we all know, there's always someone out there who likes a thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Who does this show even appeal to?
Rednecks.
People who think that this sort of low-hanging fruit-based humor is funny.
It's like a 13-year-old. It's like a show for 13-year-olds.
13-year-olds in the year 13-year-old
racists.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was not good, and I would say that as in comparison to Cop Rock, Cop Rock was not as offensive. It was just
boring. Yes.
So I think
this was boring and offensive.
I think you've brought us to the question. Is this worse than Cop Rock?
It certainly has shorter episodes.
For me, it's not a contest. I'm saying strong yes.
Absolutely, I agree with you. I cannot watch another 20 minutes of this episode. If you told me that we're going to watch 20 minutes of this or 3 hours of Cop Rock, I would pick 3 hours of Cop Rock.
Well, at least Cop Rock, you have the, like, I hope they do a musical scene now. There's no hope for this.
Cop Rock was semi-competent. This show is unwatchable.
Cop Rock, there's a meta game where we're waiting for the musical to happen. And it's a fun game because they always surprise us with when the musical is. When the musical number is, because they don't know where to fucking put them. But with Desmond Pfeiffer, it's really just like, oh, what are they, who are they going to viciously mock now?
When I think about why I enjoy watching crap, it's, I get pleasure from the feeling of bafflement. Cop Rock gave that to me. I was baffled. This, I didn't feel that. I just felt ugly feelings.
Was anger one of them?
That was there.
Yeah.
You're right. This is an ugly show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really a stain on humanity's soul.
I can see why it has been disavowed. Yeah.
Rachel, I don't know if you weighed in on the is it worse than Cop Rock. Did you give a verdict?
I think because it's offensive and boring, it is worse than Cop Rock.
It's unanimous, everybody.
We have a new worst show on Earth.
Something to smile about.
This is something I was not expecting. I was not expecting it to be this bad because I didn't think that they would go there. But they did, and they didn't. They went somewhere else. Right? Somewhere worse.
Unexpectedly, horribly misogynistic.
Guys, yeah. This has shaken me.
Sorry.
No. It's shaken me because of what the future holds. I watched Cop Rock and thought to myself, it's going to be a while before we find something worse than that. And it was not. It's been, what, 2 shows since Cop Rock? And we already went a full layer deeper of shit.
Do we have any notes to compare it to with Game Over? Like, Game Over...
Game Over was better than this.
The first night, we were okay going with the third episode.
That's true.
There's no comparing them. I would watch...
I was still bored out of my mind with Game Over, but I wasn't as horribly offended.
Mm. With Game Over, occasionally Game Over would give me something kind of thought-provoking to, like, process in the background. Not deliberately. But, like, they'd have, like, a weird, like, the what's-her-face wife character. I've already forgotten everyone.
Raquel.
Raquel would be, like, invading a cool castle or something. And I could, like, ride that cool castle for the rest of the episode. This show hurt.
Mm.
Wow. It hurt to watch.
Don't worry. We're never going to watch it again.
Yay!
It's over. It's done. And I think it's time we wrap up this pod as well.
Good.
We hope you all enjoyed this episode of The Worst Show on Earth.
Where we suffered so much.
We suffered for you. We did it for the lols, people. If you want more of our antics, Alex, Tachi, and myself are also part of a role-playing troupe called The Demi Dozen. At twitch.tv/scabbyrooster, you can watch us play Scion Second Edition, a game where all the ancient myths are true and modern people get to weave new ones. And that is returning this Sunday. And again, that's twitch.tv/scabbyrooster. And I've been Matt Murphy.
I am currently Rachel Bieber.
I am regrettably Alex Humphrey.
And as I write in my notes, I am Tachi, the human IMDb.
Until next time, enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy it is.
All that I have written here is true. This is the secret diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.